You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
So our first three readings are from the Old Testament, from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plough in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Proverbs 24, verse 30 to 34. I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. And then into the New Testament, into John chapter 4, verse 34 to 35. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest.
I want us to take up the service sheet and also the A5 sheet. We're going to be looking at a number of verses as we think about harvest and food and work. And I want us to think about how and why do we get our food, which may seem an easy and obvious thing to say and to talk about. Let's have a look at that psalm that we read at the beginning, Psalm 104, just the last two verses. And I wonder if one or two of our young people can look and answer these questions. What three things does God do in Psalm 104, verse 14? So right at the bottom, what three things? One of our young people, can they, somebody say, pick out three things that God does in verse 14? Anybody? Anybody want to volunteer? One of our young people. Who's going to shout out something? First one. Good. Thank you. Well, he makes grass grow, doesn't he? First thing, makes grass grow. What does the second line say he provides? Anybody, quickly. Yep. Plants for man to cultivate. Just note that. Man has to do a bit of cultivating, but God is the origin and creator and sustainer of all these good things. Last thing, it says, quickly, anybody? Shout out.
Food.
Thank you. He brings food food from the earth. And then the next verse, what three things does God give in verse 15? What does he say? Somebody shout them out. Wine, thank you. Oil, bread, thank you. All right. This psalm and the whole Bible reminds us that God works to keep his creation going, to provide food. We're not here by chance. This world is not here by chance. We have a God who created the world and who sustains the world and keeps it going. Indeed, the verse that we looked at from Hebrews reminds us that it is God's Son who sustains all things by his powerful words. So right at the start, as we think about harvest, it's God who works to keep his creation going. And in doing that, he provides us with food. The sun, the rain, the seasons, all these things are a mark of his goodness to us. He keeps his creation going. And just look at the variety of food that he provides. Now, I would like our young people just to jump up and to go and get. There's lots of There's lots of wine and oil and bread around. Adults, you might have to help the young people get some of the bread down. Get one for the moment. Good, thank you. Do you want to come and bring them and hold them at the front? All right, to stand at the front. Good. Come and stand at the front, holding them up. Ah, a couple of people have grabbed the wine, I notice. Good. Good. Okay, just fill out. So, I mean, just look at the variety. That verse reminds us, wine that glands the heart of man. Look at this, we've got some Chilean red wine. Chilean red wine. That's fantastic. We could have selected huge numbers of different wines, not from my larder, I might say. Look, here's a white wine from Italy, great country of Italy. Look at that. Could have selected loads of white wine. Wine that glands the heart of man. All right. Now, oil. Now, I popped down to Morrison's, which I didn't realise was open till 10 o'clock last night, which it is, which was wonderful, and picked up, look, cold-pressed rapeseed oil. All right, what's that one? Can you read that? What's it say?
Vegetable oil.
Look, another oil that God provides. All right, what's that one? Just read that. Olive oil. Who's got the other? Ah, look, you've got another one here. Look, what's this one? Look, sunflower oil. Sunflower oil. All right, so four. I think we've got four different oils. I could have picked another five, actually, I think. And then look at this bread. Look what we've got here. We've got sunflower and pumpkin seed loaf, crusty seeded loaf, salt and pepper cob. What does that one say? White bloomer. Never understood what bloomer means, but there you are. Granary loaf. What's this one? Split tin bread.
Salt and pepper cob.
Oh, two salt and pepper cobs. All right, okay. There you are. And look at this, the good old Hovis white blotting paper bread. It's extraordinary, isn't it? Variety. I mean, and these are all good gifts of the Creator God, the Sustainer God, who provides these things. Thank you all. Do you want to just put them down there? I'll try not to slip over them. Good, that's all right. Well done. How did he get two? I don't know. He was quick. Well done. Well done. Well done. That's excellent. Look at the variety. It's extraordinary. But hang on a moment. Okay, you can go back. I just want us to think a little bit further. Go on, you can put them down. I want us to think a little bit further. Look at the variety. But wine and oil and bread don't just fall out of heaven, do they? So we're not standing here waiting for the bread to fall out of heaven. Well, think about it, isn't it? It's interesting that the psalmist is quite clear, isn't it? Wine, oil, bread. They're all good gifts of God. They come from the Creator God who sustains all things and keeps his creation going to provide food. But God says it's wise to work hard to provide food. If you think about all those things, bread, oil, wine, think of all the work that goes into them. The sowing of seed, as we sung in that first hymn. The harvesting. The oil, taking the seed and crushing it, getting the oil out. All the hard work that goes into it. God says it's wise to work hard to provide food. And I want to introduce you to one of my favorite characters in the Bible. The sluggard at this harvest time. The sluggard, the lazy person. Look at the sluggard, the lazy person. Proverbs 20, verse 4. A sluggard on the A5 sheet, a lazy person does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. The lazy person is the person who won't get on and do things at the right time and in the right way. And the sluggard at harvest time, he sorry, he doesn't plough when he should plough through the year. And it comes to harvest time. He looks, half expecting there to be something for him, but there's nothing. He finds nothing. So we must work in God's world at the right time and in the right way. The Proverbs are character sketches. Lots of Proverbs are character sketches or teaching general principles about what it is to live in God's world. They're general principles. This is wise, this is foolish. And they're generally principles that generally work. Now, interestingly, we probably all know people who are exceedingly lazy and get by in life okay. But that's not the way it generally works in life, in God's world. Because though it is God's world, creative world, a world that he sustains, it's a mucked up world, which doesn't always work out. It's a world of sin and mistakes and so on. But they're general principles, and I love them for what they teach. And then he says, look, imitate the ant. Proverbs 6, verses 6 to 8. Look at this. Go to the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. Consider its ways and be wise. He's holding up and saying, look, be wise. Don't be foolish in life. Be wise. The ant has no commander, no overseer or ruler. I think the sense there is it just gets on and works. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at the harvest. Let's have a watch of the ant. Could we? So a little ant, getting on, getting its food, doing its stuff, building its home, storing its provisions, whatever it is. It is working, 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 working. And we're told to look at the ant, you sluggard, you lazy person. We must work at the right time and in the right way. And look at the results of not working hard. Proverbs 24, verses 34. I'll read this, follow it again. I went past the field of the sluggard, the lazy person, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. So here's the person who should be making wine and harvesting lots of grapes. But thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. See? Learning lessons, just general principles from God's creation, the way his world works. And then look at this. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. I love it. The lazy person just says, just a little bit more sleep. A little bit more slumber. And look at the results. Poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. It's a general principle in God's world. Great lessons to learn. That God is at work, sustaining his creation, and we're to work in obedience to him and under him. Let's stand to sing about our great God, and then we'll look at something that Jesus said. Just to take us on a bit further, here's something to think about. You're hungry? What food would you eat to satisfy your hunger? Now, I'm going to ask the young people to come up, and I'm going to ask you to choose. So, some young people to come up. I want you to choose something from this table that if you were hungry, you would want to eat to satisfy your hunger. Okay? So anybody want to come up and choose something? Just from the table, come up. All right, now, you might have to share something. All right, so we're not having any arguments. All right, and just stand and hold it to satisfy your hunger. Just from the table, I think. All right, now you can take something from there. You want to take something from there? All right, good. And just hold it up, face the front. All right, hold it up. Come on, you've got 5 seconds. One, good. Come on down the front. Come down the. Oh, you've got some baked beans. Well done. All right, hold it up. Okay. So just hold them up so that everybody can see. We'll just have a show of hands, I think. So imagine that you were hungry. What food would you eat to satisfy your hunger? Would you choose? You can hold them up. I'm not going to go over them all, but I'm just going to give you the opportunity. The custard creams. A few people would go for custard creams. The penguins. The penguin chocolate biscuits. Yeah, a few people. Thank you. Yeah, the unhealthy. Thank you. Spaghetti. Look. Ah, yes. Spaghetti in tomato sauce. Anybody? Yeah, a few. Thank you, Gareth. All right. What have you got there at the back? Ah, look. Some pasta. We've got three pastas. Look at that. Who'd go for pasta? Look at that. That's good. All right. Yum, yum, yum. Yum, yum, yum. And look, some rich tea classic biscuits. Good. Anybody? Yeah, a little bit. They don't flake my... Ah, look. Some baked beans. Some baked beans, yeah. We've got a load of baked beans up here. It's good. Oh, look, a little bit of blackcurrant. Something to drink. It's good you've chosen something to drink. I did that, you know, some food. But look, some blackcurrant. Look at that. Sun quench, 50% high juice. That's brilliant. What? More biscuits at the back. We've had those. Oh, ginger nuts. Ah, ginger nuts. The old ginger nuts. And what have you... You've got a toy to play with. That's brilliant. Brilliant. Well done. And then finally, we've got some Kellogg's crunchy nuts. Good, yeah. So there you are. Thank you. Can you put them down or on the table? That's brilliant. It's got a hole. That's good. Let's be careful. All right. Good, yeah. I want us to think a little bit more. I picked up a little bit of wisdom literature there from Proverbs. And we're told in the New Testament that all wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John 4, the disciples want Jesus to eat. And if you read the verses just before the ones that we had read, and you know, they think he must be hungry. And they want him to eat something, physical food. But look at Jesus' reply in verse 34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Fascinating statement. What is the food that satisfies the hunger of Jesus? Jesus was a man. He would have eaten cornflakes or baked beans or the equivalent. But he also comes as God's Son, fully divine. And the food that satisfies the hunger of Jesus is a spiritual food. Jesus' food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And that work was to save sinners like you and me. People who've turned away from God, who've broken his laws, who have not loved him as we should have done. So the food of Jesus that satisfies him in his spiritual hunger is to do the will of his Father. So the Father sent his Son into the world to come and to save sinners by dying on the cross, to finish his work. That is why Jesus came. His work was to save sinners. And at his death, he famously cried as he died on the cross, paying the price for our sins, bearing our sins upon him so that our sins can be forgiven and we can be restored back to God in a right relationship with sins forgiven. At his death, he cries, it's finished. He saw it as a great work he had to do. That was the food that satisfied the hunger of Jesus. You ever thought about this? Praise God that Jesus was not lazy, that he was not a sluggard. Praise God that he did the work that he was required to do, and that was a food that he had to satisfy his hunger. And praise God, he still works. wish we had time to explore that. He's alive. He reigns in heaven. And he's going to bring sinners who trust him and receive the forgiveness that he gives. He's going to bring them all the way through to heaven. Jesus still works, and so must we. There's a great spiritual harvest, isn't there, to be gathered. Look at what Jesus says in verse 35 to the disciples. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. See, the disciples are focusing on the material, the physical. What food do you want Jesus to eat? You must be hungry. And those are all good gifts. Good, we need to eat, don't we? And we have tremendous gifts from God, as we've seen. But Jesus teaches them that actually his will is to do the work of him who sent me, to finish his work. That's his food that satisfies hunger. And then he gets them to look out and see, look at all these people who need the saving love of God in and through the person of Jesus. There's a great spiritual harvest that is to be gathered. There's work to do. We have to work in life, don't we, to provide food. But spiritually, there's great work for us to do. Let me ask you, who could you invite this week to Andrew Wingfield Digby? There's something we've laid on formally. Somebody's going to give a talk about the Lord Jesus. We want to bring people to understand the gospel. There's lots of other opportunities to share Christ. There's a great spiritual harvest out there, isn't there, that Jesus is going to bring in one day. And we have work to do in telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just that, it's much more than that. But that is at its very, very heart. Let's pray, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and greatness. We thank you that in and through your Son, you sustain all things now in this world, that you provide for us in the most extraordinary way. We thank you for this reminder for us to work hard in life. Thank you for the lessons about the sluggard that make us smile. Help us to heed the lesson and be wise and not foolish. And we thank you, our Heavenly Father, that the food that satisfied the hunger of Jesus was to do the will of him who sent him, to do your will in coming down and dying on the cross, paying the price for sins, so we could be forgiven and reconciled to you. We thank you and praise you this harvest time for your extraordinary provision to us in terms of food, but also for the spiritual food that Jesus won through his death on the cross. And please help us now to work hard in order that there may be a great harvest on the last day of people who know and love the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.